I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to everyone's favourite podcast, it is Failing Meta, the greatest podcast that has ever been birthed. I'm Johnny Pelham, my co-host is the talented comedian, Sean McLaughlin. How are you today, Sean?
It was a caesarean birth. The way this podcast was birthed was via caesarean, because the doctors and the midwives were too scared of, they were saying it's going to damage the mother. Because it's so big. There's so much to this podcast. There's so much going on.
This monstrous child cannot be conceived naturally. That's what the doctor said.
What needs to happen is this needs to be a caesarean birth. The mother needs to immediately be shot. And the hospital needs to be burnt to the ground.
So that's what happened. That's all of that happened to let you listen to this fantastic podcast.
Thank you very much. And we should start, because usually we end with it, by saying thank you very much for the new reviews. If you like the show, give it a 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple.
Or our mum died for nothing.
Or our poor old failing better mama died for nothing.
Do you want that to be the case? Or do you want to just give us a 5-star review and make our mum's death mean something?
Okay. Who is the mother of this podcast, do you think? Is it actually a... Is it a physical... Is it a human? Or is it a...
I guess it's an idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
This podcast transcends the purely biological and is transcendent.
It's
a
sort of metaphysical idea, I suppose.
Yeah. God died for us to be born. Jesus died
so we could make failing better.
Yeah. And then as soon as we came into existence... People stopped believing in God. This country became an atheist country. There's no way God and this podcast can coexist.
Yes, yes.
And this podcast does exist, so God, therefore, is dead.
If this is your first time listening, by the way, it's not always this funny, so enjoy it. It's not always a laugh riot like this.
God is dead. Failing better, so yeah. How are you today, Sean?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks, man. I'm fine.
Big news, don't we?
Well, potentially
big news.
What we need to do is genuinely get a sense of how many of you would come to a live episode of Failing Better.
We're going to do it at Sean's house, so we just need 7 or 8 people to come
25th along. Of December, 2025. So we've got a long run up. I'll have you all round for giblets.
Sean's got the parsnips on already. I'm excited.
I'm peeling the parsnips. And that ain't a euphemism.
Imagine if peeling is the parsnips, what you said when you're going to have a wank.
Just have to peel the parsnips.
I mean, you'd have to say peel the parsnip, because parsnips is too... implies.
I think most roast dinner-based sort of phrases could be viewed as a euphemism for intercourse.
I'm popping the stuffing in the oven.
So I'm just popping the stuffing. I'm just basting the turkey.
I'm just pouring the gravy all over my nipples.
Just doing the washing. I'm just having a wank into some carrots.
I'm mashing the potato. I'm just mashing the potato back there. I'll be out in a minute.
Oh, God. It's quite
a horrible episode.
Anyway, if you want to come and see it live, when is the date we had in mind? I mean, we haven't checked if there's any venue availability. Basically, July is a good time for us.
Yeah, 12th of July, which is The on our calendar it says it's the Battle of the Boyne.
It's the Battle of the Boyne. So if you want to come to a full
reenactment,
live reenactment of the Battle of the Boyne with your two favourite podcasters, Sean and Johnny, let us know. Send us an email at failingbetterpod@gmail.com or write to us on our Twitter @failingpod or just give a thumbs up to a nearby postman.
I'll send us a pigeon. And just tell Pigeon, go to the Failing Better Boys. The pigeon will come to me. Obviously, I'll be scared of the pigeon due to my terrifying fear of pigeons, as mentioned in the previous episode. But I will get past that so I can hear what the pigeon has to say to me.
Yes, good. I would say we have chosen the two least funny vignettes to advertise a potential live show. But it would be great to do it. And it will be in London, we think, in sort of around the July 12th, 13th, 14th.
I think we should try and get it on the Battle of the Boyne, because I the Battle of the Boyne means so much to me as a Boyne fanatic.
All right, well, let's look up the Battle of the Boyne first before we decide whether we want it. What is it?
Why
is
I've got it in, no idea what the
Why
Battle
is
of the Boyne
is. It in all of our calendars? Battle of the Boyne was a battle in 1690. What are the two numbers in the middle of that date, Johnny?
69. Noish. I never really understood why that's a set.
Why that's a what?
No, I was going to pretend that I didn't know why it was a sexual thing.
But what, 69ing?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah, I love to 69. If you come, if we do the show on the Battle of the Boy, me and Johnny will 69 at the end of the show. that is a podcast guarantee. So if you want to come see us 69,
but you can only see that, you can only stay if you're a patron.
Yeah. If you sign up to the patron, right. Basically, we'll do the live show. It'll be a really fun show. We'll do a full reenactment of the Battle of the Boyne. Then the people who aren't patrons will leave. The people who've paid regular money every month on the Patreon will see our 69 to completion.
They have to remain fully cloaked and put their hands after me on their thighs at all times.
Also, you have to stay. You can't go, well, I don't really want to see it.
No, you cannot leave. If you're a patron, you're in. You're fully in.
Yeah,
you're watching
in.
Us.
In for any, in for a pounding, if you catch my drift.
God is dead, everyone.
God is dead. Johnny and Sean will 69 in memory of the Battle of the Boyne. The Battle of the Boyne was a battle in 1690 between the forces of the deposed King James II and those of King William III, who, with his wife Queen Mary II, had acceded to the crowns of England and Scotland.
Was that William the Conqueror? Or was it a different William?
No, that's William of Orange.
Then William III is William of Orange.
William III is William of Orange, so who is Dutch, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Queen Mary is Mary, Queen of Scots, right?
I don't think so. Because
Queen
I don't
Mary
think...
II. I think this is a UK battle.
Yeah, it's definitely a UK battle, but I don't think that's Queen Mary of Scots, because I don't think that's when she was bobbing around.
When was she bobbing around then?
Well, she's bobbing around in Elizabethan, not in... the problem with you asking me any questions like this is I just don't have a clue.
It's a huge problem, that. Look, the key thing is the Battle of Boyne took place across the River Boyne, close to the town of Drogheda in the Kingdom of Ireland. So it took place in Ireland and resulted in a victory.
Pretty much the UK, though, right?
Yeah, that's my favourite part of the United Kingdom, the Republic of Ireland.
If you do have any bombs, please send them Sean's way and not Johnny's way.
This turned the tide in James's failed attempt to regain the British crown and ultimately aided in ensuring the continued Protestant ascendancy in Ireland. Oh, please, can I be Catholic when we do Battle of the Boyne? Please, can I be one of the Irish ones?
I'll be Protestant then.
Lovely stuff. Very curious. So it must be sort of noted in British diaries for its... Because it helped get Protestantism big again.
I've literally never heard of the Battle of the Boyne, but it's nice and it's there, and then we'll be doing a full reenactment, and then we will be, Sean, I'm going to ride on a horse.
He's going to be riding on more than a horse. He's riding on his podcast co-host for Patreons exclusively.
A lot of podcasts might have better content than us, but very few of them are willing to give you a live sex show.
Very few of them are willing to literally 69.
Yeah. It's Patreon. Is it a Patreon? Is it a podcast? Or is it an OnlyFans account?
It's an OnlyFans. See us on WikiFeet.
I don't really understand OnlyFans. Do you know any... I don't understand why people are willing to pay when there's so much free porn. Do you have any thoughts on this?
It's to do with intimate relationships. If you form an intimate relationship with a certain person or star, it's the same as people paying Patreons for this.
You're getting exclusive, more personal details from our sordid lives because you want to, because you feel connected to us. And actually, the people that all feel connected have a community themselves. It's being gang. It's belonging, I think. It's the same as anything.
On all Patreon, people talk. Do you think people talk on like OnlyFans accounts? Like, oh, God, she's got such good tits.
Man, of course they do. People do like, comments on freaking Pornhub.
That like, is, it is, it's it does mad. Make me
people
laugh,
are like. Bad. People want to connect.
What makes me laugh is when someone says something really hateful or awful after, and it's like, just have a wank and leave. Why are you being hate to this place?
Just have a wank and leave. All right. Truer words never spoken. Said to me the other day in the post office, "Sir, have your wank and leave, and don't ever darken our door again."
Well, that's what were you wanking off to in the post?
I wasn't. I don't. We need to move past this. I was actually going to talk about historical war reenactments. I've never done one, and I know that they're a thing. I wonder if that's something that would be enjoyable. I wonder if that's the type of a hobby that would be fun.
Well, do you? I don't think it would because you don't do anything, do you? You just dress up and then you just like charge each other, but then you don't actually do any fighting.
Depends which battle it is, isn't it?
I guess it would be good.
It could
if
be
you...
like it could be like the Battle of the Bands. We'll reenact Blur versus Oasis in the '90s. Who's going to get number one?
I think. I sort of struggle with the glorification of war, and because war just feels to me the worst thing in the world. You know, there's just loads of scared people dying, and then we say they're heroes. And obviously, it was a heroic sacrifice, but I just think it's mainly just sort of working class people conscripted and then give their life and then they die and they're sad.
Well, it is hard, isn't it? Like, it is a shame that the Marxist idea that class will bond people more than nationality never really came to fruition, because I think war is the ultimate embodiment of that. If you don't mind me getting a bit too high and mighty, given this podcast 2 minutes ago was involved both of us sucking each other's cocks, and now we're talking about how Marxist theory never came to pass. But I always believe that to be true. I've never understood. You know, I mean, wasn't that an interesting about? I'm reading this book about the Soviet Union, so I'm thinking about it. But wasn't that an interesting thing about Lenin was kind of against the First World War? Yeah, he was against the Russian, and even like the other Bolsheviks were like, "You've got to ease up talking to this shit." But he kept saying, "No, it's an imperialist war. We shouldn't have anything to do with it. No working class person should have anything to do with it."
I agree. I never understand nationalism or patriotism. Really, it just feels such a peculiar way of forming an identity when it.
I sometimes think like that, but then I look out my window and I see I've got there's a lovely Wimpy Burger there. And I've got an Odeon Cinema, and there's a William Hill and a Ladbrokes and a Betfred within 5 minutes of my house. And I just think, well, this is the greatest country in the fucking world.
The greatest place to live in existence.
In the history
Streatham
of Christendom.
Streatham High Street.
Streatham? SW16. I should probably stop saying where I live, given that...
I keep saying I live.
Given that I'm also... I don't know, we say a lot of weird stuff on this show.
We do say a lot of weird shit. But no, I agree. So I struggle with more... the celebration.
Do you struggle with war? That's for a unique perspective, Johnny. Please delve into that more.
Well, I think some people are really pro-war, aren't they? Like if they're like, oh yeah, let's send our boys over and fuck him up.
Yeah, they always say that. Let's send our boys over. They never say I'll go over. That's always a key distinction, isn't it? What?
Let's send them boys.
Bin Laden's done what? Wait till he has to deal with me. He'll be getting a knuckle sandwich if he has to.
Do you think you do well in the military?
When I do well in the military,
yeah.
I can't imagine a environment I would thrive less in. I cannot imagine any worse fit than me in the military.
I mean, both of us, it'd be awful.
I wouldn't want to do it. I'd be like, why would I do any of this? Even if I'm doing humanitarian work, I go, why am I doing this?
I'm too stupid for this.
I'm a dumb idiot. I can't build a well for these fucking people.
Yeah. No, I'll 69 with my friend.
Look, how about I just 69 for morale? Is that good? I'll do a live podcast. We'll commemorate the Battle of the Boy. We're 69 for morale. But I'm telling you something now, Corporal. You're going to have to fucking be a Patreon if you want to see it to the end.
It would be like on Christmas Day when they came out of the trenches to play a foot mark. It would be like that.
On Christmas Day, the fighting stopped.
as on all sides, rifles lowered as Shorter
69 in the middle of fucking some field in France.
I love that. I love that story about them playing football. I think that's a wonderful. It's a wonderful story, and unfortunately, at least in the UK, the lesson of that story has not been learned at all, which is, oh, we're all exactly the same. Why are we killing each other?
Well, I always think it's a sad story in that, because they go right back to the trenches.
So, like, yeah, they didn't learn anything. They were thick idiots.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, yeah, we haven't given football. And also, I imagine being a ref for that match.
I just think they're typical footballers. They're too boneheaded to actually think for themselves. But also, yeah, we're playing football. Maybe you shouldn't be fighting each other. Maybe you shouldn't be worried about that.
They should have left that football game and gone and shot the commanding officers.
That's what I would have done.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's
not with a gun, if you get my drift.
Come shot straight to the eye.
Put that on your bloody OnlyFans.
It's been quite a sexy episode.
open mic comedian launches insane cum shot into the eye of his commanding officer in 1916.
Woke comic uses in Churchill's eye.
Woke comic destroys eye socket of corporal.
Churchill, sticky Churchill.
Churchill, anyway, if you want to see us live, let us know. It won't necessarily be like this, but I'd say it's a coin flip. It is a sad story, but I don't know. It's sort of... I'm like that, but then I went to the War Museum. I went to the Canadian War Museum when I was in Canada. And it's very amazing. And it is sort of...
What's amazing about it?
Well, the bits I liked were mainly the stuff about, like, sort of First Nation war, sort of battalions, and how tribes formed, and how that, you know, warfare is just, it has just always been a part of organized civilization, unfortunately.
And it's fascinating. I guess it's a fascinating, maybe fascinating is the wrong word, but there's something interesting about what is the correct, like, because Hitler was such a monstrous, evil man. Like, the only thing you probably can do is fight that.
Oh, he was all right.
Hey, I tell you what, good for the local economy, though. Some of his domestic policies.
Yeah,
actually.
I love that. That's the best, isn't it?
That's
the best guy at the bar. Because, yeah. Look, I'm not saying it. Look, Hitler was bad. I'm not disagreeing with you. But look what he did for the role of women in industrialisation. That's all I'm saying.
And then they take a smug sip of their pint like they're the most intelligent man in the room.
Sipping their Boddingtons. Yeah. Just going, look, she left, and I loved her, right? I loved her, but honestly, I'm having a great time now. I don't have a washing machine. I don't need one, all right? But if someone could come round and tell me what a toaster is, I'd appreciate it.
I'm happier than ever, though. I'm happier than ever.
I see my kids once a year.
Yeah. And there has to be someone in the room. The state mandated that. The state said, I can't see him alone. Yeah, that was the correct decision.
I've got to have a care worker on me at all times when I see my kids.
It's political correctness gone mad. Health and safety has got out of hand. I hit one kid. Now I'm not allowed to see any of them.
Look, if that's the kind of red-hot satire you've come to expect from Failing Better.
Yeah,
what were you saying about how Hitler was bad?
Well, I just think what if you, like me, probably, I guess I've not interrogated my thought enough on this, as ever, but let's dive in. I guess I'd probably be on the pacifist side, or definitely thinking war is bad. Controversial. But what do you do against such monstrous evil like Hitler? Because actually, there is no way to appeal. I guess, or Putin would be it.
Well, I think the Putin thing, it did sort of, because I was always like, we don't need an army, we don't need a... You know, Trident is a waste of money. And I do sort of still think that a lot. But then when you do get someone like a Putin in charge of a massive military superpower, you do need a few lads with some bloody pistols going bang, bang in their face.
Yeah, I think that's a good analysis. We need some lads in their face to go bang, bang. I was reading about how the EU spends less than the NATO commitment. Almost every nation in the EU spends less than their NATO commitment on military defence, including Britain, and America spends massively over. And so America's been like the security guard of the world, I guess.
Yeah.
With goods and bads inherent in that. But they were saying that now, because American democracy sort of dying before our eyes, with people like Trump, you know, denying the election, and that the EU is having to rethink what its role is, because it's going to have to start basically spending more money on military things because America's gone crazy.
Fascinating. A fascinating, fascinating.
Do you think that is quite interesting?
A fascinating geopolitical moment.
Well, it is, but I wonder what, because if the UK was in the cost of living crisis, all that shit, was to start spending more money on military stuff, people would go crazy. But you're right.
But I suppose, but the thing is with it, is I reckon a lot, the US obviously wants power, but also it is a huge, it does provide a lot of jobs. There's still careers in combat, you know, there's still.
Well, what this was saying, like, Trump was very like America first. Whereas, well, at least for the last like 50 years, I guess America's been quite international, you know. In
well, they're global. Like, aren't they? Isn't the U.S. Army is the reason that the Japanese don't have an army? Like, their job is to like guardian a lot of the world.
Does Japan not have an army?
Someone's once told me that in a pub, but it can't possibly be accurate.
So much of my knowledge is that.
Does Japan have
a man drinking Bonningtons who couldn't see his kids anymore? Told me Japan doesn't have an army.
It's called the Japan Self Defense Force.
That doesn't sound like an army. I think if Britain started calling their army the British Self-Defence Force, it would be taken less
seriously. Oh, after World War II, Japan's new constitution was made and enacted under an Allied occupation. So Japan cannot keep a standing army, although it keeps a small armed force called the Special Defence Forces. So there you go.
That's mad. So Japan is very vulnerable then. So you'd think they'd start.
Well, look at this. In 2022, I remember this. Japan approves the biggest military build-up since the Second World War because of the China fear. So I think they're building loads of like fighter jets in Japan. But Japan's not vulnerable because Japan is so rich, isn't it?
If they don't have an army, they're vulnerable. Because who will?
No, they got bloody Yankee Doodles all sort of out.
If Trump wins the next election, he's not. Do you imagine?
Trump's not going to win the next election. Don't be a dork.
He might do because everyone's stupid in the world.
They won't because people like us, the woke liberati. We will rig it again.
Yes.
I love that we... It's so good that we stole the last election.
Yeah.
So good. Oh, God.
It's just very clever, isn't it? Because the difficult thing about democracy is that people make bad choices. So what we're able to do is we're the guiding forces to lead these sort of plebs in the right direction away and to vote for their best interest. Which
I just think it's perfect. I just love it. I live in London, I drink a latte and I rig the world election. And that's what I do. It's what I'm here for.
Well, I guess you do that and also you do a podcast. So you
and I do a podcast. Podcast.
So you rig elections, then you do a podcast. You must be knackered.
Yeah, I barely have time to gig or write or be a husband. But I managed to do it. And you can find out how I managed to do it potentially at our live show. Excuse me, I was about to burp there.
On the date of the Battle of the Boyne. I don't think we should even say what the date is. We should just say Battle of the Boyne Day.
Yeah, I think our listeners will know instinctively.
Yeah, I think so. Or they can just check the Google calendar, because that's how we found out it was on the day.
We might not do it then, if ever. We need to get a gauge more on whether people are actually going to come before we book a venue.
That is good, because we're thinking Wembley.
Wembley.
Either Wembley or downstairs.
Wembley and stadium, that is.
Yeah, of course.
Not the arena. We think we want to be like where... Yeah, where like Guns N' Roses or like Green Day all play.
Yeah, we want to be where the England football team are.
Yes.
Because one of my great regrets is that I've never been able to step onto the hallowed turf of Wembley due to a leg injury when I was 14.
Yes, yes. And nothing would give us more joy, and we think you, and perhaps a greater British public, than 69ing to completion at the centre circle of the home of football.
Where Harry Kane kicks off every game for England, will be 69ing right on that
spot.
It'll
be kicking off for us, sexually. have you ever been to Wembley Stadium?
I haven't, no, have you?
Yes.
What did you go see?
I saw QPR versus Derby County in the Championship playoff final.
Who won?
QPR won with an 89th minute winner. That was an incredible moment that also was probably the worst thing that could have happened to the club long term.
Yeah. Was that the happiest moment of your life, would you say?
No.
What was the happiest moment of your life? moment, not like it, because I want like the specific, because it's like it has to be a second or like a 30 seconds. It can't be like a day, like your wedding day.
Ooh, good question. That
first time you saw me, is that in there?
Yeah, first time I saw you. Who's that? Who's that in the gutter?
Oh my god, my next move. I need to do, once that man has got that pigeon out of his mouth, I'm going to do a podcast.
I remember when I first saw you. I think I first saw you when you were in a Chortle student comedy final. And you were brilliant that night.
Thank you. And I still am.
I don't know if I view it as the happiest moment of my life, but I'd put it top 20, I suppose.
Okay. I'm glad about that.
What was the happiest moment of my life? I don't know.
Maybe it's still to come, so you can't. Yeah.
Yes, I do think that when I finally come, I think that'll be the happiest moment of my life.
I mean,
Battle of the Boyd, maybe that'll be it.
I think for me, it's definitely the first time I did drugs, because it's such a happy moment the first time you do.
First
drugs
time I did ecstasy, it was pretty unbelievable.
Because there's nothing that's much of a hit. Like, I'm sure that long term isn't the most meaningful. You know, me like, you know, seeing Sophie or something. I don't know what it is. But the first, like, the moment that sticks in my head of, like, life feeling amazing is just coming up on drugs for the first time.
I think, I do think when England took the lead in the semi-final of the 2018 World Cup, that was one of the greatest moments of my life. I do view that as, like, I genuinely couldn't believe how brilliant it felt.
Yeah, because that also, football's a great example, because it has to be like a sudden rush to be the best moment in your life. It can't just be like, so like in England.
Were we
going
together for that? Because we watched a few of the England games together, didn't we?
We were together.
In Streatham.
We probably had a hug.
We probably had a bloody hug and a kiss. It's probably where we got our idea to 69 in a few years.
The first 69. Oh my God. We want to watch the football. Some sucking his dick.
Oh. Still 88 minutes to go in the game.
We've been sucking since the build-up of the game started. We've been sucking.
Well, we watched the Panama game together. That was England 6-1.
Yeah.
And then we watched the Colombia game together, and you were being like a terrorist that night. You kept saying, fuck Colombia, fucking dirty South American bastard. And I'm pretty sure there were a couple of Colombians there.
Oh, no, I can't understand.
Yeah, you
that.
Were being very aggressive. But they were playing dirty that game.
Too. But I guess also I would have been doing it in a cheeky way.
Yeah, it didn't read as cheeky to me.
Yeah, but that's why you've got to see my eyes and my energy. I'm all about subtlety, mate.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not racism. It's satire.
It sounds overt racism, but it's nuanced.
Yeah, it's nuanced. It's nuanced racism. Yeah, that's sweet, isn't it? That was a happy summer.
You're telling me your happiest moment in your life could have been when I was alongside you.
Oh, I don't know if I could live with that. I don't want that to be on public record.
That's delightful. Because we were definitely together, I think, for the Croatia game. I remember it. Well, I was definitely in that.
Yeah, because I know Sophie was there. I remember Sophie being there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was quite a motley crew there. We booked out like a whole thing. It was the Pratt and Payne, wasn't it? It was a great place.
Who's the comedian? Just George Rigdon there.
Yeah, yeah. I say we cut that. George Rigdon was there.
Yeah, that is weird, because I've only met George Rigdon about four times in my life, and one of them was the happiest moment in Sean's entire life.
Yeah, one of them was for the greatest moment of my life. Though it must be said, I've never ejaculated, so... right, I'm not sure this episode is working, but what is the happiest moment of your life? When you first time you did drugs?
Drugs, yeah, yeah.
Are you still on the drugs train?
I've not done drugs in ages. I'd quite like to do them, actually. That's not a bad idea. I'll write it on my list.
Battle of the Boyd.
Battle of the Boyd. I think I might do drugs on my birthday, maybe. Just a little bit, just to keep my hand in.
Alcohol's a drug, Johnny.
Well, that's what I meant, if any police officers are listening.
How many Rozzers do you think we get listening to this show? How many Rozzers have we got? Members of the Met.
Was it this episode we were praising the Met? We're saying they're a great organisation. Yeah, that'll be the algorithm leaning towards this.
definitely, we think the Metropolitan Police are a fucking great organisation. There's no problems there whatsoever.
They're all heroes in blue. Every member is
blue
a hero.
Lives matter.
And on that accurate,
not bombshell, on that completely normal statement, we will leave you.
The police, the Smurf community, Blue Lives Matter,
blue.
Avatar,
people who are drowning,
people who are struggling to breathe,
people with lead poisoning, they matter. And so do our boys in blue, Tesco employees. Oh, right. Fuck this shit. Right.
You've got to go into a more successful podcast now.
I don't think it is more successful than this.
Traitor. All right,
it's
not more successful. Good.
Imagine if I ever did a successful podcast. Imagine if I ever did a huge podcast. I suppose
we
almost
got that one with 5 million. We should
That's all I'll say. It's a pleasure. And do sign up to the Patreon. And do let us know if you want us to do a live show. In sort of July time, or maybe another time, but if you would actually come, because it is like, I know we'd probably get a few in, but it'd be nice for our first one to be really packed out. And so
The idea of it doing it to like 12 people would be too sad to continue.
Yeah, we'd rather just sort of wait until it's a better time, but we the listener numbers have gone up so significantly that maybe it's not a bad time. July sort of 12th to 15th, I think you were talking about as sort of
July the 10th, I'm down in London, so that sort of week.
But I can't do 10th or 11th.
You son of a bitch.
I'm in Dublin, baby.
All right.
Doing research for my half of the Battle of the Boyne reenactment.
It's come with a pint of Guinness.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, and good luck in the rest of your life.
Have a great time, no matter who you are. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.